Lord.
Previously in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, David felt like a widower without Pippa, so he decided to accept Jenny McGrath's invitation to dinner. Meantime, Gloria's mind was still reliving the day of her abortion. Suppressing that memory, she was about to take over the driving, but her silly flirting with William caused a serious accident.
Pippa was on playground duty on Monday morning, and she had to pass David's office on her way to the exit doors. She always felt a tightening in her chest as she approached it. Today was much worse. Jenny McGrath was standing outside, knocking on the door, and at first Pippa wondered if she was having some kind of pupil trouble and needed David's help. But that thought was quickly dispelled as she drew near the door and froze. David was opening it with a big smile of welcome, unaware Pippa had stepped out of sight. Jenny slipped in, grinning girlishly at him. The students could have been committing murder in the playground for all that Pippa noticed, as her thoughts plagued her. David had taken her at her word and made no contact since that horrible Sunday, now 4 weeks ago. What did she expect? She had made it clear they had no future together, and it was pointless to go on seeing each other. And yet, in some perverse way, she had fully expected him to phone or turn up on her doorstep. She missed him terribly, especially their trips to the cinema, and the hugs and kisses afterwards at her house. Now she was tormented by what she had just seen. Of course, Jenny's smile could have meant nothing. She smiled like that at every man, even the fathers of students. It was David's welcoming smile that bothered her. Later that day, in the staff room, her worst fears were realised when Jenny, totally unaware of Pippa's relationship with David, said in a conspiratorial way, lowering her voice and turning her back on other members of staff, "You will never guess who's coming to dinner at my place." "No, I can't imagine," Pippa replied casually as her heart rate sped into her ears. "David Mackey!" Jenny announced triumphantly. "What a catch he would be!" "You realise he's married?" Pippa said as calmly as she could manage. "Not really. I was careful to invite his wife too, just to see what he'd say. He says she's in the ATS and he hasn't heard from her in 3 years. That was enough for me." "So when will this romantic dinner take place?" "Saturday night. So I'll have all day to prepare, and we don't have to be up early next morning." "That depends which mass he goes to the next day." Pippa hoped that would give her pause for thought, but no. "It might have to be confession," giving Pippa a playful punch on the arm. "We don't have confession on a Sunday, as you would know if you were Catholic." "Oh, don't be so stuffy, Pips," as she irritatingly always called her. "I told him it was a dinner party, in case he had any scruples about being alone with me. He's kind of deep, isn't he? I don't quite know what to make of him, but I'll find out on Saturday," she said, opening her eyes wide to indicate an adventure. Pippa decided not to continue the conversation. She just said, "Well, Good luck. You can tell me about it on Monday. Don't worry, I will. Was strong. She knew if she did, he would cancel Jenny's dinner immediately. But surely it would be cruel to restart something which could only end the same way, having spoiled a possible chance of future happiness for him. She knew Jenny wouldn't have any scruples about marrying him after the divorce went through. She couldn't get that thought, plus the thought of Saturday dinner, out of her mind all week. She knew how wrong Jenny was for him. Surely he would realise that too. Then she rebuked herself for behaving like a star-struck teenager in love for the first time. On the other hand, because of her ethics, he had been denied any realistic physical outlet for their love. She had no doubt Jenny would fill that gap with one dinner. His principles were strong, but then she had never really tested them. By the time Friday came round, Pippa was beside herself with, what, grief? That was the closest she could get to describing her emotions. Stop it, she commanded herself. Then, as she was leaving school at the end of the day, she saw Jenny tapping on David's door again. When she caught sight of Pippa, she gave her a wink as she slipped inside. Pippa could feel herself shaking as she hurried, almost running out the door. If I go home, I'll just sit down and burst into tears. What can I do? She had a sudden idea. I'll go into town, be among lots of people, perhaps find something nice to buy. That'll stop me crying. With that thought in mind, she reached the nearest tram stop. And before she had time to change her mind, a city-bound tram car arrived. And she found herself rattling away from the punishing scene of Jenny winking at her. She got off at Charing Cross and started walking aimlessly along Socky Hall Street. She stopped to look in Daly's window. Their stock was always elegant and quite out of her price range. Nowadays, as well as the price, they also displayed the number of coupons required. In that way, the war was a great equaliser. The voice behind her saying,
"Mother,"
was obviously not meant for her. The voice was too strong and low for a child. Puzzled, she looked round anyway, in case someone had mistaken her for the mother of a lost child. But instead, there stood the young soldier with whom she had shared her journey to London. He was wearing civvies, but she'd have known him anywhere. His red hair, no longer with an army cut, had grown considerably. But his green eyes sparkled in the same teasing way. "Steve!" she gasped.
"Mummy!"
he cried out as he lifted her up and swung her round. "Where did you come from?" she asked when he put her down. And she found herself grinning for the first time that week.
"I've come from heaven to stop you wasting your money on that ridiculous dress. Now let's go for a cup of tea instead."
So saying, he took her hand and led her inside to Daly's posh tea room, with Pippa shaking her head incredulously and laughing. "Well, you haven't changed," she said when they were seated.
"You have,"
he returned.
"But I don't know how. I kind of put my finger on it."
"Older?" she asked.
"Oh no, quite the reverse. As though something mysterious has happened to you."
He peered closer.
"Like a kind of a Scottish Mona Lisa." "Aye, that's it. Mona MacLisa."
Pippa decided to enjoy his little joke and laughed heartily. "And what about you? Home and leave again?"
"Aye, very long leave. In fact, I'm out.
The waitress, in her coffee-coloured uniform with her cream-coloured frilly apron and cap, with its brown velvet ribbon laced through it, approached their table, notebook in hand. Her accent was very polite Scots. Can I take your order? They ordered a pot of tea for two and were delighted when she offered to bring the cake trolley for them to choose from. The moment she left, Pippa said, "Not another wounded soldier."
"Aye."
"You don't look wounded."
"Well, I've no intention of proving it here. It's well out of sight, but enough to get me home for good. Now, I am looking for a job. And believe me, it's not easy, even with the shortage of men."
"Tell me about it," she sympathised. "My son went through a terrible time when he first came home." That led to questions about her visit to Craig in hospital when they first met, 3 years previously, neither able to believe it was that long ago.
Thank you.